بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, before I begin the Fajr reminder today, let me do a quick reminder as far as the Zakatul Fitr is concerned, because that is a fard related with Ramadan. Zakatul Fitr, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this is fard, and he said it is like sajda sahu in salah, which compensates for any mistakes that you make. So Zakatul Fitr compensates for any mistakes that we may have made in our fasting. And the time to pay Zakatul Fitr is before Salatul Eid, and usually it's a good idea to pay it 1 or 2 days before, so that when you are paying it to people, they can make use of it. I mean, just on the way to Salatul Eid, if you give them something, then that's not of much use. But anyway, if you have not paid Zakatul Fitr, then your Eid Salah is not valid. So it has to be paid before that. Zakatul Fitr is wajib and fard on anyone on whom zakat is fard. So if you have the nisab for zakat, the difference is that the nisab for zakat is something which you have had for 12 months. Zakatul Fitr, if you, one day before Eid, if you have that money, then Zakatul Fitr is wajib on you. So, literally, even on the same day, before the Eid Salah, if you have that money, then you have to pay Zakatul Fitr. Zakatul Fitr is wajib on all the members of your household, irrespective of age. So even if there is a newborn baby, you have to pay Zakatul Fitr for that baby. It's also wajib on all your servants. If you have, I don't think you have slaves, but if you have servants, they must pay Zakatul Fitr for them also, inshallah. The amount is the value of or 3 kilograms of the staple grain that you eat. So, in this country, we eat either wheat or rice. So, it is the value of 3 kilograms of wheat or rice per person in your household. Obviously, you must get the value of the most expensive wheat or rice, because you don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold back from you when He is giving you. So, don't try to cut corners with these things. There is a hadith where Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was giving some charity and she was counting the money. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I am giving charity." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't count, because you don't want Allah to count when He gives you." So, in terms of all of these things, don't try to cut corners. Don't try to, get smart with that. Give as much as you can. Give more rather than less. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Now, as far as today's Fajr reminder is concerned, since we also have a lot of young parents here, I thought let me talk a little bit about the importance of conditioning in raising children. Conditioning is getting children used to certain things. Getting them used to certain things right from day one. Why is conditioning important? Because that is the foundation of habit. If you are not conditioned doing something, then the habit will not form. And the longer you leave it, the more difficult it becomes. So right from beginning, the question is, what conditioning? Conditioning is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the best age to teach obedience? The day the child is born. There is no concept of being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are young, and then suddenly becoming obedient when you attain puberty or what the case might be. You will do whatever you have been used to doing. So, if you have been used to disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if you think of changing, the change will be far more painful at that time, because you have been used to living without that until that time. We see a lot of situations where, for example, little girls, parents dress them in clothing which is completely un-Islamic. And they wear, you know, frocks and so on, and half the body is visible. First of all, especially in today's times, that is literally dangerous for the girl. It is, her life is at stake. Make no mistake. And don't say, no, but you see, she is only going with our trusted driver. The maximum amount of child molestation happens with trusted servants and with your own close relatives. This is statistic evidence of this. So don't think that, you know, just because your little girl is going somewhere with a trusted driver that she is safe. She is not safe. She is not safe. So don't put your children in a dangerous state like that, number one. Number two is, if you have got the little girl used to running around half naked, which is what it is, and all that's now until she's 5 years old, 6 years old, and so on and so forth, what are you doing? You're training her for the first 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of her life to be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No hijab, no clothing to cover the full body, and so on. Suddenly, when she is now at the age of puberty, you expect her to wear hijab, and you expect her to wear, you know, God knows what, and loose clothes, and so on. How is it going to happen? Tell me. How will it happen? It will not happen. And you will have a problem on your hands. Children are thawabul jariya only if you train them well. Otherwise, they are azabul jariya. So think about that also. Because if you didn't train them, if you let them loose, and then what they do, that will also come to visit you in the same place, in your grave. So it's very, very important. Now, another very important thing is to bring them to the masjid. And not bring them to the masjid and leave them loose to run around like little banshees, but to bring them to the masjid and to train them on how to behave in the masjid. Yet, alhamdulillah, I'm always very happy to see in this masjid the number of small children and how well behaved they are. Because the parents understand this, they bring them, they keep them with them, and so on and so forth. I mean, inka bacha, how old is he? 1 year old? 2 years old. He's the most well behaved 2 year old I've ever seen in my life. He comes and after I finish salah, I turn and sit down. He comes and, you know, shakes hands with me and he gives me one kiss and all that and goes. So the point is, that's how you train them. Now he comes, he's properly dressed, he's got a topi on his head and everything else. Same thing with the girls. When you bring them to the masjid, bring them to the masjid, but make sure she's wearing a hijab and so on. Don't say, no, but you see, she's small, hijab is not fard. We are not talking about fard and not fard. We are talking about conditioning, getting them used to certain standards from the beginning. Yes, of course, it is not fard. But unless you get them used to that, when it becomes fard, they will still not do it. Some people feel that, you know, that things I am saying, you might feel that this is too much of regimentation and all that. But believe me, to leave your children without a clear moral standard, in the mistaken belief that, you know, I want them to be free, I want them to freely choose, that is total rubbish. That is like throwing them into the sea without teaching them how to swim. What will happen? They will drown. So if you leave them without a clear moral standard, free to choose, what will predominate? Their nafs. Yes? If you're saying, no, go around, you know, experiment and see. So he's going to experiment with drugs and he's going to experiment with, you know, alcohol, and he'll experiment with God knows what, right? With music and this and that, and he'll have girlfriends, boyfriends. So what is he end up, what is predominating there? Nafs. And what did Allah tell us about the nafs? Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu illa ma rahima rabbi. Verily, my nafs will lead me only to sin, only to destruction, only to something evil, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy. So if you are left to your nafs, to your desire to decide what you want to do, there is only one ending. There is only one ending. So please don't fall into this trap of, you know, the whole idea of freedom. There's no... For a Muslim, you are the slave of Allah. You are not free. And in that slavery is izzah. right? Slavery to a human being is zillat. Slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is izzah. So therefore, to imagine that we are free, no, we are not free. We are people who have been sent with a mission, and we have been given a mental, a moral framework, and we can operate only within that framework. We do not have the freedom to break that framework and do something else. So as far as salah is concerned, make sure that your children pray, and they pray on time, and they pray in jamaat, in the masjid. And if you live in a place which is far away from the masjid, then pray by in jamaah at home. Don't pray alone, even at home. If you're staying far away from the masjid, like when we were growing up, we used to stay in Sanandagar. And the nearest masjid was in Panjagutta. Right? So to come from Sanandagar to Panjagutta for 5 times a day was obviously not possible. So my father used to wake us up in the morning for Fajr. And I would call the Adhan, he would lead the Salah. My brother and I would stand behind him. And behind us would be my mother and my sisters. And the younger sister was like 2 years old. And we would pray by Jama. Nobody prayed by himself. You pray by Jama. And then of course, for Juma and then whichever Salah possible, you would go to the Masjid. So it is very important to get children into this life framework of being regular in the Salah, what they dress, how they dress, what they eat, being very, very sure as far as food is concerned to say, not just now today, nowadays, you just order anything from anywhere and it comes and you eat, no. And also regularity with regard to food and so on and so forth. I always say, have at least one meal a day in your house where everyone sits and eats together. Otherwise, our homes today, especially affluent homes, are like hotels with room service. Anyone comes and goes and they eat and they go away and you don't know. You ask somebody, where's your brother? I don't know. Where's your father? I don't know. Ask the father, where's the son? I don't know. I mean, this is literally like a hotel. And there are servants, so the servants will give you the food and so on. Food in the fridge, take it out, put it in the microwave, eat it. You know, you don't want to eat in the here on the table or go carry the food in your room. You know, he's watching whatever is on the computer or the TV and he's eating his food. This is all total undisciplined lives which are completely non-productive and pointless. Don't do that. There is a place to eat, sit there and eat one meal a day together as a family without any screens, no phones and no nothing. You eat your food and you eat it in the way of the sunnah. Make dua, have, if you are going to speak from something good. And those meal times must be fixed. And after that, no food. Right? After that, no food. One of my young nephews asked me this question. He said, is it permissible to order from Swiggy and eat at 2 o'clock in the morning? So I said, it is haram, haram, haram. Now, obviously, it is not haram. But my point is, what on earth are you doing at 2 o'clock in the morning ordering food from Swiggy? I mean, this is really, I tell you, these are things which are very bad. I mean, they don't even think about this. It's not a question of haram and halal. Obviously, if you are eating halal food, it's halal. You can eat at 2 o'clock in the morning. But the point is, why are you eating at 2 o'clock in the night? For what? It's bad for your body and it's bad for your discipline. Eat at regular times. Eat good food, holistic food. And after that, don't eat. Be hungry. That is much better than eating at, you know, the odd hours just because now you have all these Zomato and Swiggy and whatnot. You order food from there and you eat. Please don't do these things. Right? So this, as far as children are concerned, give them a moral standard right from day one. Because there is no period of life where it is okay to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not there. Even if you are 1 day old, you have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, that obviously, so the parents are responsible for that. So please make very, very sure about this, right? Make sure that they do that and get the children used to the masjid, to salah, to recitation of Quran. Let them read, you read to them. Let them listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't matter if they don't understand. Let them listen to that. There will come a time when they will understand. But it should not be a strange thing to them. Talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get them used to that right from the beginning. Inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us, to give all of you children who are the coolness of your eyes and who will be a means of sadqatul jariyah for you. Please remember, children listen with their eyes. Children listen with their eyes, not with their ears. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. Your conduct is either the biggest demotivator or it's the biggest motivator. Don't think you can fool them. You can't fool them. A 2-year-old child, a 3-year-old child understand everything you are doing. You think you are fooling them, they're not fooling them. They know exactly what's happening. So please, one of my friends in America, he tells me this story. They had a 3-year-old daughter. So he and his wife sitting and watching some movie. And this movie was like, you know, shady, right? So they said that when they knew some kind of a scene is going to come, they would tell the daughter, just go to the kitchen, you know, get me a glass of water or something. So she goes to the kitchen. After the third time, she said, "You're watching sex again?" 3-year-old girl. The chap said, "We were both shocked." I said, "Well, why are you shocked? Children see, they know." She may not understand exactly what is sex, but she knows you are doing something which you should not be doing. So you are shutting me off from here because you are doing something you should not be doing. Why are you doing that? So please, let's, don't fall into these traps. Build a good, solid moral base at home, then inshallah your children will be strong when they go out in the world. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.